the Philly team. And why don't we welcome Janelle Bresnik, the coordinator for the trip. So.
Good morning. Well, last June, just a few weeks ago, we took our youth up into the inner city of Philadelphia to do outreach and missions. And before we decided where we were going to go, I spoke with the youth leaders, and they all felt like the youth needed to be stretched. We wanted to do something different than just physical labor and a lot of service projects. We wanted to do something that really stretched them spiritually. And so God led us to inner city Philadelphia, where we did a lot of evangelism, a lot of outreach, a lot of things way out of most adults' comfort zones. And what I want to tell you is that youth rose to the occasion. They embraced it and they went with it. And in the power of the Lord, they did things that were just outstanding. And you're going to get to hear some of that today. The scripture that Pastor Will read for the scripture reading about, about when did you do these things? You did it when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me, said the Lord. And they encountered the least of these, that's for sure. They ministered to drug addicts, to drunkards, to mentally disabled, to broken, to the elderly, the poor, just the whole gamut of the least of these. And they did it without judgment, without prejudice, without anything but the Lord's love. And it was powerful, not only for those they reached, but for them as well. And you're going to hear that. But before we have them come up and speak, we've got a presentation for you to get a real good taste of what we did in Philadelphia. So to share with us first, I'd like to ask Brenna Justice to come. Let's hear it for Brenna. When Brenna started the trip, she was Brenna the Meek, and I have renamed her now to Brenna the Bold.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brenna Justice, and I'm going to share with you a very specific experience that I had during my time in Philadelphia. So basically, it was day 5, Monday, June 27th. And so we went out to hand out flyers for Calvary Chapel Germantown, and I was paired up with Miss Sherry Rozier and Jennifer Avila, who's over there. So we were walking around, and we came to Vernon Park, I think is what it's called, Vernon Park. And we saw a woman sitting on the bench by herself, and, you know, she was just sitting there. She looked kind of lonely and kind of sad. Miss Sherry was like, hey, let's go hand her a flyer. So we went up and introduced ourselves, and after talking to her, we discovered that she was a 39-year-old woman with 6 kids. Her oldest was 20, and she was living with her current boyfriend. So after spending some time with her, she actually ended up getting saved. But that was the nutshell version of the story. That was, like, incredibly condensed. So what I want to talk about is what the Lord did in that experience, what I saw him do, and what he did in me. So to be completely honest with you, I don't feel like I did anything. And honestly, I didn't talk at all. I just sat there and listened as Miss Sherry talked and even led the woman in prayer. But when I was asked to share this story, I was like, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to say. I don't know what I can say because I didn't do anything. But I asked, like, my parents, and I asked my aunt and a bunch of other people. I was like, what do I do? And they're like, well, it's not about what you did. And I was like, oh. Because it really isn't about me. Because, you know, our deeds are as good as filthy rags. And so it's really about what the Lord does. And so after looking back at that day, here's what I saw him do. Firstly, I saw the Lord bring us to that park at the exact time that the woman was sitting by herself on the bench. It seems strangely convenient that we were at the right place at the right time and that we just so happened to encounter a person ready to receive Christ, doesn't it? The fact of the matter is that that was a divine appointment set up by God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God brought us to Vernon Park that day to give this woman a future and a hope. Ecclesiastes 3:1-2 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. God has a purpose in everything he does, and that day I saw firsthand, for the first time, someone choose to die to themselves and to be born again. I've been around for the planting many, many times, but this was the very first time I was there for the harvest. That was encouraging to me because it encouraged me to be bold, first of all. But also, it was like a reminder that Jesus knows what he's doing, that and that he has a heart to not only save, but to adopt any who want to become part of his family. Secondly, I saw the Lord use Miss Sherry to share his love with this woman. At one point, she said, "You're God's princess, and I may be wrong, but I'll bet that no one's ever told you that before." And the woman shook her head no in response, and next thing I knew, she was crying. Miss Sherry didn't yell at her, saying that she was going to hell for living with her boyfriend or for having six kids with different men, and she didn't shove the gospel down her throat. Jesus says in John 13, 34 through 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Her heart and eyes were opened because Miss Sherry showed her the love that Christ shows us, and that's incredible. Thirdly and lastly, I saw this woman being broken down, but then I saw Jesus coming in and picking up the pieces and making something beautiful out of that brokenness. This reminds me of a song by Red called Pieces. The lyrics are, "I'm here again, 1,000 miles away from you. A broken mess, just scattered pieces of who I am. I tried so hard and thought I could do this on my own. I've lost so much along the way. Then I'll see your face, I know I'm finally yours. I find everything I thought I lost before. You call my name and I come to you in pieces so you can make me whole." Matthew 16:24 reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Something I've been thinking about lately, kind of made a sort of analogy, is that, like, you know, when a car breaks down, you get, like, a new part for it so that it doesn't break again. But when you do that, it's not the same car it was before because now it has a new part to it. And similarly, I think that since we're broken without Christ, that means we need Christ to come in and fix us. Well, not fix us, but change us and make us new. And that's what I saw in this experience. I saw the woman decide that, you know, she was broken and that she did need Christ. And Miss Sherry told her, you know, if you want Christ to come into your heart, he'll do that for you. And she said, yeah, I really want that. So that was really kind of crazy. It was like she knew she was broken, and it was like she had tried so many other things, and she couldn't find what she needed to make her new. And then this one day, she hears about Christ, and she's like, yeah, that's what I need. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." So I know that when we prayed with her, Christ had made her new, and I could definitely see the change. In conclusion, I believe that even though I don't think I did much that day, God had purposefully allowed me to be in that position so that I could come back and share this experience with you all so that you can be blessed and recognize how truly awesome God is. So that's the story. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenna, and I'm glad you shared that with us. All right, Andrew and Jacob are going to share about the bench.
Wow, that was not planned at all. It's pretty cool.
All right, so a little bit, I'll start out with a little background on me. I don't like to talk to people. That's just the start. Most of the people on the Philly trip are introverts like me, but this was a real test of how far God can push you off the edge. Simple as that. It was on a street witness, and so we came across a bench, and it was full of druggies and alcoholics. And so I was, like, Peter and Andrew were giving cards and stuff like that to the people, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to stand in the back. It'll be okay. So as I was watching them, I was like, you know, actually, I want to do that. I want to be a person who helps somebody. So I noticed, I was like, there's an empty spot in the base. I was like, thank you, Lord. There's an empty spot in the bench. So I sat there. Big mistake. Anyway, immediately when I sit down, the smell of alcohol and being passed in bags back and forth, I was like, all right, cool. So I started a conversation with the person to my right, and I said, all right, I'm Jacob, and he didn't really tell me his name. because he was drunk. Anyway, so he continued on his story, and he's like, yeah, I'm a teacher, and stuff like, a biology teacher. And I was like, oh, great, cool. So in my head, I had this really cool thing. I was like, I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to, at the end, I'm going to show how God's love can change a person. Even though how far you've gone or where have you been in life, it can still change you. So in the middle of it, I was like, yes, Lord, yes. And he's like, all right, I'm going to have to stop you right there, son. That's sad and depressing, and I'm sorry you had to go through that, but I just don't care. And I was just, I was like, okay. So after that, actually in the middle of that, Andrew had a thing
that happened. So while he was talking to these people, he said slightly that I was handing out cards to everybody. Well, my thing is that I'm almost an extrovert, kind of-ish, an extrovert, but I didn't want to talk. So I was just handing out my cards and kind of backing away. And while I was doing that, I started talking to a lady that she came by, and she's like, what do you got there, honey? And so I gave her one of the cards, and she was like, oh, you're from a church. You believe in Jesus, you know? And I was like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. This is great. I'm going to have a conversation. This will be cool. She's going to encourage me. We'll encourage each other. She's like, yeah, I like Jesus. And she was like, so you're a Christian? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, come here, honey. And she gave me a hug. Now, yeah, it was a hug with a random person. And this woman smelled with alcohol, as did everybody else. And she also had a beard. So at first I was like, I'll give you a hug, I guess. It was one of those contemplative moments where she was like, here you go. And I was like, okay. So I gave the hug. I was like, okay, whew, the Lord has gotten me through the hug. I don't know. This is like, I don't know what's coming next, but I got through the hug. Is this how it works? Is this evangelism? I don't know. So I continued to talk to her a little bit, and she started talking about what she believed in. And it was a little bit like God made bad things happen to people. But then she was like, but God loves us. I was like, that's true, but that's very odd. How she came to that conclusion. What she told me after that was that she had tried alcohol. She had tried drugs like cocaine, LSD. She's tried everything. And she was saying, but God still loves me. And I was like, that's true. But she hadn't changed. So I was a little bit like, I don't know if she has a relationship. Anyway, so my fun part of the story is that after that, she then hugged me again and kissed me. So that was fun. So we had this whole conversation. That happened. And then I saw Jacob, and I awkwardly kind of walked back over to the situation. I was like, okay, so hey, guys. And then she walked over, and Jacob.
She grabbed his finger and almost broke it.
Yeah.
She started pulling back, and she's like, you know, Jesus, he's like, you can't talk bad about Jesus because he brought you on this world, and he loves you very much. And so I was just like, all right, Lord, one of two things. I can just get up and walk away, or I could do what I did next. I put my hand on her hand, and I said, "If you truly know and love Jesus, then you would know that you would not want him. You would not want to hurt. He doesn't want you to hurt other people." So she kind of backed off, and then she grabbed his finger again. I'm like,
yeah.
"Okay." So then Peter told us to leave. So I was like, "All right." So they, as we're walking away, we're just walking away. Anyway, all I hear is yelling, and I'm just like, all right, cool. This is what planting a seed feels like.
Yeah. I don't know.
We did it.
I don't know, man. Achievement.
So, yeah. Literally, that was it.
Well, Well, there goes the train. Just drove away. One second. Hold up. Talking to the guy. Oh, yeah. She tried to break the school teacher's finger. That's that.
Oh, yeah.
And also, when we were walking away, we were planting seeds. So actually, I'm just going to end there. That was cool. Yeah. So what we learned that...
Don't sit on a bench next to people that you don't know. That's what I learned.
Sure. No, what we learned was that if you talking to people and sharing the love of Christ is important. And sometimes it doesn't feel like you're getting the fruits of your labor right away, which is like, and when you talk to somebody, they're like, I want to receive Christ. You're like, oh, okay, I've gotten the fruits of my labor right away. But sometimes it's just planting seeds and letting God do the rest. And so what we got them to do was talk about Christ as we walked away. They were all kind of arguing with each other. And so Peter and John Rozier, the pastor of Germantown, were like, you know, you did your job. You did a good thing. They got them talking about Christ. So that was cool. It was an odd experience. Don't know if I do it again, but it was cool.
Yeah,
so there you go.
All right, that was it.
All right, I'd like to, it's so exciting that the missions team is running the service because this morning we are going to commission another missions team. And I need Gammy Diaz, Suzanne Elliott, Matt Hauser, Sherry Hauser, Nathan Larson, David Samard, and Eric, if he was here, to come up front. Eric Thurber is at home celebrating his anniversary because he's going to have to leave his wife and little baby to go on this trip. So we thought it was okay for him to stay home today. If you guys can come up here, Pastor Will is going to commission the team. These guys are leaving for Puerto Varas, Chile on Tuesday. And they are going to go and help with a church plant that is hopefully beginning. While we're there, we're going to be part of planning the church and evangelizing in the area. So we will need your prayers.
Amen. Well, when I was praying before the commissioning, the Lord laid on my heart to share some scripture with you guys. And it comes from John chapter 20, and it's in verse 19. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, it says, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said unto them, 'Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained.'" You know, you're going to have the tremendous privilege to share the gospel with some people for the very first time. You're going to have the opportunity to offer forgiveness to someone. You know, the fact that we have the privilege to let someone know your sins are forgiven, you know, that's an amazing privilege. And so my prayer for you and my heart for you is that God would pour out his spirit upon you. He breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost," that he would baptize you anew and afresh in his spirit. He'd give you boldness and courage and love and joy as you interact with those people down there in Chile, that they would know the love of Christ. So would you join me in prayer as we commit these folks to the Lord? Lord, we thank you so much for the whole team right now. We thank you for their heart to leave their jobs, their families, to go down to a strange place, a place they've not maybe been before, and to talk to people they certainly have not met before, and to minister your love to them, Lord. We pray that you would give them boldness, Lord, that you would indeed breathe upon them your spirit, Lord, baptizing them anew and afresh with the fire of your spirit, Lord, that they would have boldness, that they'd have courage, Lord, that they would be filled with a supernatural love for people that they don't have never met and don't know. And Lord, that those people would see your hand upon their lives. They would see your spirit when they come to them, that they would see that fruit that is so supernatural, Lord, and that it would draw them to you. God, use them, protect them, and do great and mighty things. And we look forward to hearing the work you're going to do. We commit them unto you now in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Looking forward to what God's going to do in Chile. But now we're going to have Lauren Thomas come up and share. Lauren was our photographer on the trip. And she did a wonderful job with the slideshow. She loves coffee. I can't say it because I'm on the phone.
She has to pee in case you're wondering. Okay. Okay, so when I first heard about this trip, I kind of struggled with the idea. I didn't feel like there was a way for God to use me, and I wasn't entirely sure that I should go. But long story short, God thankfully pushed me to join the Philly team and go on the trip. Although my nervous thoughts continued, I went on the trip still feeling like I was the oddball of the group. I still felt like God hadn't shown me why he wanted me to go on the trip and even use me. I wish I could say that my mindset magically changed once I stepped off the plane, but it wasn't until a couple days in that I truly felt a change of heart and purpose from God. I eventually learned that God would not only be able to use me from being the team photographer, but also help me learn patience and step out of my comfort zone. This all really hit me when I started to actually speak with the people from Philly. God really opened my eyes to their stories and experiences. I'm glad that I was able to leave this trip having learned that God can use me in numerous ways and that I can always be a beacon of light for him. Without the Lord's guidance and comfort from my team throughout the trip, I wouldn't have nearly been as confident in the word as I am now. I couldn't be more grateful for the experience I get to cherish from this trip, from speaking with people to Philly and even hanging out with the team and growing closer with them. It was all part of God's plan.
Well done, Lauren. Well done. So, Joel, he's eager. I like that. Joel Ramirez came on the trip, and I was very pleased that he did and went way out of his comfort zone. So he's going to share about that.
Okay. So, hi, I'm Joel. I am very, well, first off, I was very, very, I don't even know what I'm saying now. I was very surprised when Mr. Janelle asked me to speak, because normally being a pastor's kid, I don't get chosen to do anything. It's kind of like, oh, he's a pastor's kid, you know, whatever. So anyways, this is really cool. So I'm glad to actually be able to share with you guys, because I've never done this before. So I don't have any crazy experiences Andrew or Brenna did with their bench stuff and all that craziness. Anyways, my initial mindset for the trip, going into it, I wasn't as excited as I was last year when we went to Peru. I don't know if that's because it was the second mission trip, so I knew what to expect a little bit, I guess. But long story short, it was a complete 180 from what Peru was like. And I'll get into more details of that later. But I had a lot of concerns going into the trip because, if you don't know me, and for those of you who do know me, you can confirm that my personality is very introverted, Jacob said in his, I would rather, stay at home and do something by myself than go out and talk to people, I guess. So I knew that this trip was going to be very challenging in that aspect for me, because I am just not used to talking to people. I talk to, groups of people a little bit, but I don't actually go out of my way to make sure I talk to every single person, and I don't like having huge long conversations, so I just get really stressed out and really anxious for some reason. So I knew it was going to be a challenge going into the trip, because I had to actually talk to people. So and I am not a big fan of super urban city environments. And I knew we were going to be in a very poverty-stricken area, just a lot of super lost people. And there were a lot of lost people. And the cool part is we were all able to help them, and God was able to use me, despite my social concerns, I guess you could say. So, like I said, in comparison to what going to Peru was like last year, a lot of the stuff that we did in Peru was very physically demanding. We did a lot of physical labor, and it was very challenging in that aspect. As okay, today we're going to go out and we're going to build a park, or we're going to play with, we're going to play with the kids for 5 hours, or do a skit or something. And every single day it was okay, we're going to go out and we're going to work. But in Philadelphia, it was so much different, because the whole social and emotional aspect of it was up here. So it's every day we're going out and we're, ministering to people, we're talking to them, we're witnessing to them, we're, just hanging out, and just a lot of socialness and a lot of emotional stretching, I guess you could say. So since I knew this, I started praying. I was okay, God, I need you right now, man, because I'm not used to this at all. And so, I prayed that he would just kind of stretch me in a way to where I could know what my boundaries are. That way, I can actually be confident in doing the stuff that I did later on. And so, I just kept praying. And just a real tip, if you don't want to be stretched, don't pray that God will stretch you, because he will. So day one, it was Saturday. It was our first major event, and that was the block party. And what do you do at parties? You talk to people. And for me personally, it was challenging because I was put on hot dog duty for 3 hours. So, if you can just put yourself in my shoes real quick, here's Joel. He's at the hot dog table. He's, handing out hot dogs to people. And then here comes a mother with her 2,000 kids. And she's like, all right, can we get hot dogs for all of them? And then you have to, figure out all this stuff and put, the relish and the ketchup. And then all the kids oh, I don't want that. And you have to get, a new one. It's... And I know it doesn't sound hard, and you probably think I'm a wimp, but it's so stressful for me. It is so hard. Okay, literally just asking someone, going out to people, I'd be like, hey, we got hot dogs over here. You guys want hot dogs? And I'd be like, whew. That was so stressful, man. And so that's just me. It's just who I am. I stress out about everything. Anything social, I flip out. So, it was very hard, but I was able to kind of get the hang of it and force myself to do it. Because I know if I get out there and I do it, it'll be easier as we go on. And it was. And then after that, I served ice cream for thousands of kids with, I think, Allison and Danny. We were both there, and we were serving ice cream, and, you know, the same kid would come up, like, 20 times and take ice cream. I'm like, dude, you have, like, 20 already. What are you doing? Anyways, so, yeah, the block party was very, it was good, and it was just very stressful and emotionally tolling, like, for me. And by the end of it, I was just so drained. But it was good, because I was able to learn, like, okay, I can do this, you know? I can do stuff. I can go out and I can talk to people. So Monday comes. That was the first day we went street witnessing in the actual city of Germantown. And so, again, you know, that's this is where all the crazy stories are coming from, because there were just so many messed up people there. And they, you know, you can just tell they're all lost. You know, they need Jesus. There's a lot of Muslims there, very high Muslim like population there. There's a lot of like Buddhists and other weird stuff like that too. So we went street witnessing Monday, and I kind of had a little experience of like what the environment was because of the block party. So I got to meet like kind of, you know, okay, this is what it's going to be like. And so we went around and I handed flyers to people. I didn't really talk to anyone. In my group that I was in, we actually talked to like this Muslim guy for a very long time. And that was a really good conversation. Even though I didn't talk, I was just kind of able to listen in and just kind of say, okay, this is how you do it. So I think Miss Janelle and Danny, I was in her group as well. They were the ones doing most of the talking. So I kind of got to hear like an example of how you're supposed to like talk to someone, which helped down the road, which I'll explain later on. So basically, this whole time God's just kind of working through me, and he's just kind of showing me. He's like, okay, even though you know you're an introvert and you don't have like you're not very confident with doing stuff like this, it's not about you, you know. And you know, it's about me. It's about me being God. So God is telling me, you know, it's not about you. It's about me. So you know, I'm going to use you despite your weaknesses. And that's what a lot of people said in their other speeches, is that it doesn't matter, you know, how good or bad you are at something, because God's going to use you for His glory. He's going to use your weaknesses for His strength, you know. And so that was kind of one of the main things that I learned. And then probably the craziest thing that happened to me was on Thursday, I think. I don't remember which day it was, but we went street witnessing in downtown Philadelphia, like the actual city of Philadelphia. And we did the clincher, the skit that you'll see after this. We're going to do that. We did that in front of City Hall in like a park. It was pretty cool. And I got to talk to like a Buddhist guy, which was crazy because I walked up to him. It was me and Peter Steffi. We both talked to him. And, you know, that was a whole crazy conversation. He was talking about like finding your true self and how like I was going to be a worthless animal in my next life because I was... whatever, I haven't found my true self yet. So that was a really crazy conversation, but I found myself talking to him, you know, like actually like speaking words. And so, and it was just crazy because while I'm talking to him, through my head, I'm just like, I'm sitting here in the middle of a park in Philadelphia talking to a Buddhist right now. Like, I would not be doing this if it were my, you know, will. And all, like, the words that are going through my mouth, they're not coming from me. You know, I'm quoting scripture and stuff that I don't even remember from, like, reading. And so that was just really cool to just see God just kind of show me. He's like, hey, you know, you're not useless. Like, I can work through you with this stuff. So that was really cool. So that's kind of my first revelation, I guess you could say, which was, let's see exactly, God can use me no matter what my weaknesses are. He uses weak points and struggles for His glory. So, yeah, that basically goes with, like, all the street witnessing stuff mostly. So then the second thing, which I think is really cool, and this is probably the thing that affected me most, was through sharing God's love with other people, whether it be non-believers or believers or other people, you know, you can kind of learn God's love through that, and He kind of reminds you how much He loves you. So, you know, just kind of talking to the people. And we went to a place called Teen Challenge, which is like a rehab center for guys and girls, and all the guys there, they were all saved, I'm pretty sure. And so they're all just kind of talking to us, and we're talking to them, and we're doing work for them, and we're just kind of hanging out. And there's a lot of cool experiences where I was able to kind of share God's love with other people. And through that, he kind of reminded me how much he loved me. So I thought that was probably the coolest thing. But so to end, I have not a memory verse, but not a Bible verse, but a line, a verse from one of my favorite worship songs. And so it goes like this. It goes, "I will abide, be still, and know that you are God, for you are mine, and in your presence I'm alive. Here in this place, within your shadow, I am safe, every mistake fading into the light of grace. Be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life. In your love alone, my soul is satisfied." So that kind of goes with the whole thing of, God being my heart's obsession and being first and only in my life. So I would challenge you guys to make God your heart's obsession and first and only in your life also, and that we just kind of live for him in that way, because if we kind of sit here and isolate ourselves and not talk to anyone, then we're not loving people, and we're not letting God use us to his full potential. So that's kind of what I realized this trip, is that I'm not useless, and none of you guys are useless too, because if I can talk to people and I can talk to a Buddhist, for God's sake, you guys can do it too. So that's pretty much all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Before I have our last speaker come up, one of our actual youth leaders, I just wanted to share something that impressed on my heart during this trip. I got to go on this trip with four of our high school youth leaders, as well as the 16 youth. And Peter and Kelly and Justin and Danny are outstanding youth leaders. And if you're looking for a youth group that has all the bells and whistles and flashing lights and a big stage show and all of that, I mean, that's all right. But if they don't have what this group of leaders has, they're missing it. Because these guys poured into our youth. They gave of their sleep, their time. They were those middle-of-the-night conversations they were there for. They made sure that everybody on the team was being ministered to. And if there was questions or problems, they were there. They prayed for them. They always led them to the Word, always led them to godly counsel. So it was a privilege for me to be with these young men and ladies. And, this next generation coming up is going to be awesome. So I'd like Kelly Flynn to make her way up to the podium now. She's one of our youth leaders, like I said. Give her applause.
Hi. So, as Joel mentioned, on Wednesday we went to Teen Challenge. And the day before that was our day off. And on our day off, we walked a lot, like miles and miles all around Philadelphia to different historical sites, which was great, but we were already really tired. And then we walked all over the place, and we went back to the church that we were staying at, and then played this game where you literally just run for an hour, like nonstop, because people are chasing you. And then we stayed up really, really late, and then the next day we got up early to go to Teen Challenge, which, as you can probably guess, is a really good combination to be ready to serve the Lord. And so we were exhausted. And we had this idea, like, Teen Challenge, okay, we're going to go there, we're going to minister to them, we're going to bless them by working on their building, working on whatever they need, doing the physical work. And, maybe we'll get to talk to them, too. That'd be cool. And we get there, and they weren't teens. They were adults from ages 18 to, I think they said the oldest they've ever gotten was 60-something. 65, and that's not what I was expecting, at least. But I was like, okay, all right, cool. And then we get to the guy's house, and all the work that we were supposed to do for them was basically done. So we're like, oh, well, weren't planning on that either. So they're like, it's okay, the guys, they can stay here, but the girls, you guys can't be here because of the guy's house. But we have a women's house right up the street. And I'm like, oh, up the street, okay. And another man was confirmed from Philadelphia, He was like, yeah, it's just two blocks away. And we're like, oh, cool, just a couple blocks. We'll just walk. And so we pull out my phone and look up on the GPS, and it says a 25-minute walk. And to me, I was like, oh, okay, maybe we just walk slow or something. Didn't really register in my head that that's kind of a long walk. And so we're getting halfway there, and Sherry Rozier, she at one point goes, hey, are we almost there? It had been about 15 minutes. I was like, we still have another 15 minutes to go. And she goes, what? She goes, no. So we call Peter, and he lovingly and graciously came and picked us up and took us the rest of the way. So we weren't planning on that. Then we get there, and they didn't look like they were expecting us, which I don't think they were. And so they didn't really have a lot for us to do. So we cleaned some bathrooms for them. We swept out some of their vans and did that. And so I went there like, okay, you know, we'll do a little bit. And I'm really good with the cleaning, I think. And I'm a manager, so like I'm like, okay, cool, we'll organize. You guys go do this, you guys go do that. And I'll help you and make sure we're all like cleaning really well. And Sherry talked to the leader and was like, hey, we'd like to do, like, prepare a short little message for you, some worship, maybe get to, like, pray for your girls, women. And she's like, yeah. And she goes, okay, cool. So, Kelly, you're gonna teach with me. I go, what? Are you sure? I was like, you know, I know Danny's not in the room right now because she was in a different room. I was like, but she's a lot better at this than I am. Are you sure you didn't mean her and not me? Because being around Peter, Justin, and Danny, like, all three of them are amazing teachers. Like, if you ever get the chance to hear them teach, they're amazing. And so for me to be like, oh, yeah, or for her to be like, oh, yeah, Kelly, you do it. I'm like, I don't think so. But the Lord definitely challenged me in that. And Sherry challenged me. And it was amazing because the portion of scripture that we prepared, it was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7. And we finished our teaching on it, and we opened it up to the women there. And one of them raised her hand and said, you know, I graduated from this program. It's an addiction, a drug addiction program. She goes, you know, I graduated from this program in February, but when I came out of it, I started using again, and I had to come back. And I didn't know why the Lord brought me back here. And I was really confused, and so I decided, okay, I'll start memorizing scripture. So she picked one, and she's like, I've been working on it for a while. And when you guys started reading your scripture, I realized it's the exact same one that the Lord has put on my heart. And so that was really cool to see, like, God confirm it for her and for us. And we taught about the comfort of the Lord and how we go through these trials so that later he can use us to comfort others. And I shared about losing my best friend last year when she died in a car accident. And talking about that, comforted one of the girls there, which I never expected to happen, because I'm like, what am I going to do? This 23-year-old who doesn't really do anything, how am I going to minister to these women that have been through some really hard times? And to see that the Lord used my struggle in her life and encourage her to who went through the same thing I did, to comfort someone else and want to be able to share that with someone was really powerful. And all of the girls seriously rose to the occasion there. We went there, and it was a little hard at first because we were really tired and we didn't feel wanted. But the Lord changed all of their hearts and my heart too. And by the end of it, it was amazing. And we got to pray with all the women. Our work was not in vain. And it was amazing. And that's it.
And we did discover Kelly is a good teacher. She shared some devotions on the trip. If I could have the clincher team come up now. One of the tools that we use when we're out is called a dramatic mind, called a clincher. And you may have seen it if you were at the outreach a couple weeks ago. It's a very powerful skit, mime musical thing. And everywhere we've used it, it's had a really great impact. And one of the places we did the skit is, I think Joel said, was on the actual front of the area in front of City Hall, the Philadelphia City Hall. And when we got there, I just thought, this is a great location, Lord. We need to do it here. And I wasn't even really thinking about where we were. And there was a security guard, so I went right up to him, and I figured he might say no, I don't know. But I just asked him if we could have 10 minutes just to do a little performance. And he's like, okay, why not? You know, why don't you do it? And then he looks at me and goes, I don't know you, and you don't know me. So I said, that's fine. We'll just do our clincher. When we were done, Sherry Rozier, the wife of the pastor that we were working with, she came up. She goes, I can't believe that. No one ever does anything like that without getting a permit and all those. I can't believe that. And I didn't even realize what we were doing until after the fact. I was like, wow, God went before us and opened that door. And once we did our skit, we dispersed it to the crowd, and we talked with them and used it as a tool to open the door to talk about Christ. And it was powerful. So I want to introduce you all to the clincher.
Some of you may have seen the skit before. We did it when we did the out. They did it when we did the outreach in Kingswood a couple weeks ago. And you know, I've seen it quite a few times. Our kids are amazing. I get blown away every time I watch them do it. The effort and the energy and the passion they put into it. The idea of what they're trying to convey. The reality of Christ breaking our chains. Every time I watch it, I get choked up because I just think, man, that was me. You know. He paid the price for me. He's the one who set me free, you know. And I know you can look at your life and you're well acquainted with your own sin. And you look and you think, Lord, that's what you did for me as well. You took my place. And so, you know, if you're here today and you've heard all these stories, these testimonies of how God had worked in their life, how God changed their life, that is all possible because Christ died for their sins and they received that as well. And maybe you're here and you're in bondage to sin still. You've never experienced that freedom in Christ. I want to encourage you, if the Bible's very clear that if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we'll put our faith in Christ, He will justify us. He will take away all of our sin and make us clean. So, wasn't it a great time today? Yeah. So. We have them come share this because so we can be blessed and we can share that as well. And now we have the great opportunity to go out and to minister the same truth in our community with boldness and courage. The same way that God could use them, many of these, you know, kids share, and I didn't think God could use me, or maybe I felt useless or whatnot. Whatever you might feel about yourself too. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yes, you can, because the Lord will empower you and He will lead you and He will direct you. A lot of times it's just taking the first step to go. So why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll commit this time unto the Lord. I'm going to invite the worship team up to go ahead and close us out as we pray. So, Lord, we thank You so much for this time that You have encouraged us through the work that You did in the Philly team. And we're excited about, Lord, what You're going to do in us now as You use us to reach our community for You in the same way. So give us boldness, Lord. Give us courage. Remind us of what You've done for us and how You've set us free. That with that same love, Lord, that same gratefulness that we have for You, that we be obedient to Your command to go into all the world and make disciples. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ and you want to be free from your sin, you want to be forgiven, you want to repent and put your faith in Christ. I would love to pray with you today. If you would like to make that choice today, just lift your hand high. Is anybody here? You want to give your life to Christ? Anybody here this morning? Just lift your hand high. I'd love to pray with you today before we close. Anybody before we close? Well, Lord, we again thank You for these kids and we thank You for the team. We pray that You would continue to grow them in Your grace and in the knowledge of You. We pray You do the same with us. In Jesus' name, amen.